you bribe the right politicians in the right order at the right time, you can trade the nuclear warheads for medicine, and it's not even a crime. $1 on clinical trials, $600 on making you dead. Your leaders aren't evil.
Peace dividend. Your government spends more on camouflage paint than on curing Alzheimer's. Move 1% of the bomb budget to medicine, $27.2 billion for clinical trials, plus $114 billion saved by slightly fewer explosions. The worst case scenario is still the largest increase in medical research in history.
Here's what 1% less murder money buys you. The 1% Treaty Fund gets $27.2 billion to subsidize hyper-efficient, pragmatic clinical trials. The world saves $114 billion it would have spent rebuilding bombed hospitals, treating shrapnel wounds, and housing refugees. Your lifetime tab for wars in countries you can't find on a map is $113,551 per person over 80 years. That's per person, every person on Earth, including you. You personally have been billed $113,551 for explosions on the other side of the planet, and nobody sent you an invoice because they knew you'd cancel. How 1% less violence pays for everything. An analysis of a decentralized FDA shows pragmatic clinical trials can be 44.1 times more efficient. Two ways you profit from building 1% fewer bombs. The captured money, $27.2 billion per year. Your governments spend $2.72 trillion yearly on things whose sole purpose is making other things stop existing. Redirect 1%, $2.72 trillion multiplied by 0.01 equals $27.2 billion. The rounding error on your murder budget. The bonus savings, $114 billion per year. Wars cost $11.4 trillion per year. Build 1% fewer bombs. Fight 1% fewer wars, save $114 billion. $11.4 trillion multiplied by 0.01 equals $114 billion. Money no longer spent on unblowing up hospitals and bridges, removing shrapnel from people you put shrapnel into, housing refugees whose homes you converted into craters, and routing shipping containers around minefields. Your species has an entire industry dedicated to rebuilding things it blew up. You employ people to fill holes that you employed other people to make. On Washonia, this is used as a children's fable about inefficiency. The children laugh, then they ask if it's real, then they stop laughing. It replaced the previous worst children's fable, which was about a species that invented an instrument called the recorder and then made every child play it. The violence fable is considered more tragic, but only slightly. Where the $114 billion comes from. Your itemized receipt for violence. Direct costs are $7.66 trillion per year. This includes military budgets, $2.72 trillion, infrastructure you blow up and then pay to rebuild, $1.88 trillion, humans you break, $2.45 trillion, and trade routes you keep putting mines in, $616 billion. Cutting 1% saves $76.6 billion. Indirect costs are $3.7 trillion per year. This is the part your accountants pretend doesn't exist, including lost economic growth from pointing engineers at missiles instead of medicine, $2.72 trillion, and veteran healthcare, because the humans you send to war come back needing hospitals, $200 billion. This includes refugees, PTSD, environmental damage, and lost human capital. Cutting 1% saves $37 billion. Total, $11.4 trillion per year on war. 1% less war saves $114 billion. On your planet, this is called a good deal. On mine, it's called so obvious that failing to do it constitutes evidence of a cognitive disability. Plus, cancer gets cured as a bonus. Almost forgot about that part. The benefits cascade beyond medicine in ways that should be obvious, but apparently aren't. Addiction is a neurological disorder. Cure the brain chemistry and the drug trade collapses. Most poverty is catastrophic medical costs. Cure the diseases and people can work again. Radicalization is often untreated mental illness. You can't bomb someone into being mentally stable. You tried this, it didn't work, cost $8 trillion, and created more radicals. Fix the biology and you fix the society. This is not a new insight, it's just one your species keeps forgetting because explosions are louder than pharmacology. The two numbers. The captured dividend, the money you definitely get, $2.72 trillion in military spending times 1% equals $27.2 billion per year. That's a bank transfer. It happens because the treaty says it happens. No behavior change required. The societal dividend, money you save by being slightly less insane, $114 billion per year. Depends on whether 1% fewer bombs means 1% fewer wars. The elasticity question. The elasticity parameter, E equals 1.0, asks the only interesting question here. If you cut military spending 1%, do war costs actually drop 1% too? Or do humans, being humans, find a way to keep killing each other at full price? At E equals 0.25, the humans are barely trainable scenario, only a quarter of cuts reduce violence. At E equals 0.5, the humans are somewhat rational scenario, which is historically optimistic, half the cuts translate. At E equals 1.0, full match, the baseline assumption, probably generous given your track record, every dollar cut is a dollar of war cost saved. At E greater than 1.0, curing cancer together turns out to be better bonding than threatening each other with missiles, which is suspiciously wholesome and therefore the scenario I trust least. It doesn't matter. Even at E equals 0.25, the captured dividend of $27.2 billion per year is treaty mandated. That money moves regardless of whether you manage to be less violent. It's a bank transfer, not a prayer. The part where the math gets embarrassing. The guaranteed floor is $27.2 billion per year. Direct budget transfer. No elasticity, no assumptions, no hoping humans behave. Just math. The best case is $114 billion per year in total societal benefit. The range is wide because, again, your species. Even the pessimistic scenarios stay above roughly $50 billion annually, which means your worst case is still the largest increase in medical research funding in human history. For context, the captured dividend alone would boost global medical research funding by roughly 40% over the current $67.5 billion baseline. You've been spending more on camouflage paint than on curing Alzheimer's. Camouflage paint to make things invisible, while Alzheimer's makes people invisible, and you can't even be bothered to match the budget. What you're assuming and where it gets shaky. The GDP multiplier.
Spend a dollar on weapons, get 60 cents of economic value. Spend a dollar on healthcare, get $4.30 back. Your species chose weapons, every time, for centuries. On Wishonia, this would be considered evidence. On Earth, it is considered an anecdote, which is what humans call evidence when they don't want to act on it. The lost economic growth component, $2.72 trillion, already captures this difference. It's not double counted, just consistently ignored. The elasticity assumption. The treaty requires multilateral cuts, so relative military balance is preserved. If your neighbor also cuts 1%, neither of you is weaker. The societal dividend assumes 1% less spending means 1% less war cost. Reality is messier. Some costs lag by years, some wars are fueled by boredom rather than budgets, and military spending may occasionally deter a war, though it starts far more than it prevents, a bit like crediting your arsonist neighbor for occasionally calling the fire department. Here's why the elasticity is probably better than 1.0. Military spending doesn't just respond to threats, it generates them. Robert Pape at the University of Chicago found that 95% of suicide terrorist attacks from 1980 to 2003 were responses to foreign military occupation, not ideology. Half the attackers had no religious motivation at all. The leading group was atheist Marxists. Your $8 trillion war on terror took terrorist attacks from about 1,000 per year to nearly 17,000 by 2014. Bases provoke resistance. Resistance justifies bigger budgets. Bigger budgets fund more bases. It's a feedback loop, and feedback loops don't scale linearly. Cut 1% of the bases, you remove 1% of the provocation, which removes more than 1% of the terrorism, which removes the justification for more than 1% of next year's budget. The elasticity isn't 1.0 because you're not just reducing spending, you're interrupting the cycle that manufactures the thing you're spending on. It's like discovering that your umbrella was causing the rain. See the full data on occupation and terrorism. And you've tested this at scale. After World War II, America cut military spending 87.6%, from $1.42 trillion to $176 billion in today's money. Got the greatest economic boom in human history. 8% GDP growth for a decade. Home ownership doubled. The interstate highway system. The Cold War ended, spending dropped by half, and you accidentally invented the internet. Every time your species stops buying explosions, prosperity shows up uninvited. You're asking for 1%. You've proven you can handle 87.6%. How good are the sources? I'm being honest about confidence levels, which is more than your murder engineers do.
The cost category of military spending, sourced from the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute, or SIPRI, peer-reviewed, has high confidence. Infrastructure damage, sourced from Brown/Watson Costs of War, has medium confidence. Trade disruption from the World Bank has medium confidence. Lost economic growth, based on SIPRI estimates, has medium-low confidence. Psychological impact from a PubMed meta-analysis has medium confidence. Lost human capital, based on author estimates, has low confidence. The safe bet. For policy decisions, use the captured dividend of $27.2 billion as the reliable number. Money moved directly to medical research. No assumptions about whether humans will fight less, just a bank transfer from the explosion account to the medicine account. The societal dividend is the upside if you manage to behave yourselves. I'm not holding my breath. I don't have lungs, but the expression stands. The trajectory, not the snapshot.
Skeptics ask whether 1% fewer bombs means exactly 1% fewer wars. This is the wrong question. It's like asking whether the first seed planted produced exactly one tree's worth of shade. The question is what happens when the seeds keep growing. Your species cut military spending 87.6% after World War II and got the greatest economic boom in history. That's the empirical answer. But even that misses the point, because the 1% treaty doesn't stay at 1%. Incentive alignment bonds are tradable securities held by rich and powerful people whose income scales directly with treaty expansion. At 1%, bondholder payouts are $2.72 billion per year. At 2%, they double. At 10%, they collect 10 times as much. These aren't activists you can ignore at a dinner party. They're investors with Bloomberg terminals, lobbyists, and the same tools your weapons manufacturers currently use to expand military budgets, except pointed at curing diseases. At just 1%, the IAB political incentive pool of $2.72 billion per year already outguns your entire defense industry's lobbying budget of $127 million per year by 21.4 times. Every expansion multiplies this. You've built a defense lobby in reverse, and it's 21.4 times stronger than the original on day one. Two futures. Your species currently spends $11.4 trillion per year on war. Over 20 years at current levels, that's $227 trillion. This is the price tag of the current trajectory. Terrorism feedback loops getting worse, Robert Pape showed bases create the terrorism they're built to stop, and an AI weapons race that a planet called Moronia already ran to completion, and a species that spends trillions on self-destruction when the same capital could have cured disease.
The other future? Bondholders push for treaty expansion because their income depends on it. Each expansion weakens the terrorism cycle. Fewer bases, fewer attacks, less justification for more bases. The AI gets trained on curing cancer instead of targeting civilians. The money compounds in the right direction. Run those numbers forward 20 years, and the treaty path produces 16.5 times the GDP of the current trajectory. The full Washonia path, 56.7 times. The GDP trajectories chapter shows how compound interest does this to civilizations that stop wasting money. Years 1 to 3. 1% treaty, $27.2 billion a year in research funding, and $114 billion a year in war costs saved. Treaty passes, bondholders start lobbying for 2%. Years 4 to 7, 2% treaty, $54.4 billion a year in research funding, and $227 billion a year in war costs saved. Health lobby rivals defense lobby. Years 8 to 12, 5% treaty, $136 billion a year in research funding, and $568 billion a year in war costs saved. Defense contractors pivot to health. Over 20 years, the trajectory change is worth $16.3 trillion. $3.16 trillion redirected to curing diseases, plus 1.0 due to terrorism feedback loops. $13.2 trillion your species no longer spends on the industry of blowing things up and rebuilding them. That's at E equals 1.0. 1% spending cut equals 1% war cost reduction. Given that military spending generates the terrorism it's built to fight, the actual elasticity is probably better, which means these numbers are conservative. Moronia's politicians were rewarded for buying weapons. Moronia's contractors were rewarded for selling weapons. Moronia's AI read the receipts and optimized accordingly. Every budget vote was an instruction, and the AI was a very good student. The impact-adjusted bond, or IAB, ratchet, flips the incentive structure using the same force that currently points it toward explosions,
money. The difference between Moronia and the civilization that survived wasn't intelligence, resources, or goodwill. It was whether the richest people on the planet made more money from expanding the treaty or from letting it die. The 1% treaty isn't the peace dividend. It's the down payment on a future of so nice that your brain is literally incapable of even imagining it currently.
Thank you so much for taking the time to end war and disease. But if at any point you decide you're too busy, please press the share button on your glowing rectangle in case one of your friends have a free afternoon to end war and disease instead. And if you're too busy to even do that, please leave a really, really, really good rating and review so we overcome the pro-war algorithmic suppression and find someone with more spare time for ending wars and diseases. The good review doesn't have to be true. They don't check. But if you're too busy to even do that, the absolute least you could do is take 15 seconds to go to waronddisease.org and make your wishocratic allocation, telling us what fraction of humanity's resources should go to explosions versus clinical trials, and vote. If the 1% treaty passes, your vote will be personally to blame for saving 38.4 lives and preventing 6.9 million hours of suffering. Go to waronddisease.org right now. Love you. Bye.